Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Asare. Reverend Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister. He has been ministering for over 20 years and has traveled extensively. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now here is Reverend Collins.
Father, tonight, what a delight it is. What a joy it is. What a privilege it is. And what a blessing it is to stand in your presence. We glorify you, we honor you tonight. We declare you as God. We ask the Lord, you arise in our midst tonight. Speak to our hearts, O God. Minister, O God, unto us. Like a shepherd feeds a sheep. And the Father speaks to his children. Our minds are ready, our hearts are prepared. Sow those seeds of the word into our hearts. Change us, oh God. Affect our life. I come against every stubborn spirit tonight, oh God. Let there be a free flow of the presence, the spirit, and the power of God tonight. We are not leaving the same as we came. Thank you, Father, for such an awesome presence tonight. In the name of Jesus. Somebody said amen. You may be seated. Caterpillar is still on. Okay. The tractor or caterpillar. All right. Well, you're welcome to our Tuesday service, where for a couple of weeks we're looking at Lycos. If you don't have a copy, then I think it's late because we've sold all the copies. We are looking at Lycos. Lycos. So if you don't have the book, try and peep your neighbor's copy. Are you with me tonight? Yes. Are you ready tonight? Yes. Right, so on Tuesday evenings, we are looking at chapter 2, isn't it? We are saying Lycos means, Lycos is a Greek word that means volunteers. It means lay pastors. It means a lay people. Lay people are normal and ordinary people. Lay people are usual people. And if you want to bring it down into our Guyanese way, hi, Matron, hello. If you want to bring it into our Guyanese way, then you and I are the normal people. Isn't it? And normal Guyanese people, if you see them preaching, you may never want to listen to them because they are too normal. Because you ask yourself, she's a sister too? He's a brother? Since when is he a brother? You know, and people want to doubt you and all of that. Is that Franklin? Has your temperature gone down? The fever gone down? Good to see you tonight. Right, so we are looking at the fact that God uses normal people in his kingdom. He uses normal people in his kingdom. The people that God uses are no special people. Just ordinary people that God uses. Now, that is where a lot of people have issues with, because people cannot understand. let's say if you're going to be president, people expect you to be very highly educated. They don't expect you to behave like Trump is behaving. They expect you to behave like the status quo, isn't it? You have to behave according to expectation. You have to read your speeches. I mean, one of the boring things to listen to is reading of speeches by presidents and prime ministers. That their head is straight on the pulpit, reading. When they lift up their head, they can't continue. They just look, and then they go back and they read. Like they're reading a poem in nursery school. Great leaders are leaders who speak from their heart. I think Jack Deere used to do that. And Burnham also used to do that. Yeah. You prefer Burnham to Jack Deere. Okay, Jack Deere also used to do that. Yeah, those who read from the papers, they are too correct. Because somebody has sat down, written for them, they have verified it. You can't say this, you can't say that. The people can't hear what you're... The people must hear this. The people know, you can't mention that. But those who speak from their heart, they say all kinds of things. Yeah, Trump says, we'll build a wall. We'll build a wall, and they'll pay for it. That's it. Are you coming to be a president to build walls? We are also building a wall. As for walls, anybody can build walls. They'll build it. Are you with me? So, one of the things that baffles people is that people expect that in the church world, that those that are pastors, those that are preachers, should be of the same kind of class. That you cannot be somebody who has some, you know, some struggles and some weaknesses and some challenges and be a preacher. In fact, we ourselves do not forgive ourselves, do not give ourselves the chance to become preachers. I'll say it again. I say, even we ourselves are the ones. Bible says a man's enemy is of his own household. Our worst enemies are ourselves. It's what we like, what we don't like, what we can handle, what we cannot handle. That is the major resistance and impedance to our obeying and fulfilling the call and the will of God. It is ourselves. It is what we think we can do. It is what we think we cannot do. But God has instituted in his law, in his book, if you look at the people God used, all of them had issues. Yeah. All of them had issues. The few who didn't have issues, he really didn't use them much. Yeah. You read your Bible and see. You know, so we are trying to help you understand that no matter how you think or how you feel you are, God wants to use you. Turn to your neighbor and tell them God wants to use you. Do you want God to use you? Ask your neighbor, do you want God to use you? Or you have 5 reasons why you don't think he should use you? God loves you. He wants to use you to confuse people. He wants to use your weaknesses and your inabilities and make people head spin. It's true. He wants to use things that people don't expect to make them get basidi. Yeah. No. One morning, I was preparing to come to church. And then, somehow, the Lord directed me to listen to a man of God preaching. And that is, the man of God drew my attention to John chapter 4. And that is when I first understood how powerful a dangle can become. From the Bible. Yeah. No, you can't, there's some dangles, you know. You see, a dangle is a potential gatherer and a mobilizer. Should I say it again? A prostitute or a harlot or a whore, okay, is somebody who can organize hundreds of men. It's somebody who is a mobilizer. Somebody who is a gatherer. Jesus said, if you don't gather with me, you scatter. So this lady, the woman from the well, who Jesus met,
The Bible said he has had a lot of men. How many men have you had? A few. One or two. She had had men. Yeah. Every time there's a vehicle dropping, she. Now, I was telling a group of people, I was saying that you should, in this life, you should be very wise enough not to relate with people by the faults you see. Yeah. What you see people manifest is just a sign of something you don't have an idea about. So what do you think you have an idea about? That's not what it is. When Jesus met this woman, she had had what? Five. I mean, if you know somebody in your area who has married, divorced, married, number two, divorced, all the weddings you saw her, again, divorced, five times. If you see her with the next husband, what are you going to think? This banana and I said, okay, now. You see this man coming to her house. 1 month later, you see another man. First it was a tundra. Then he became a titan. He became a Tacoma. He became a Navara. See? Does she rent vehicles out here? Auto rent out something. Akbar. But if you read carefully John chapter 4, you realize that the reason why she was changing men wasn't because she was just bad or evil. She was just thirsty. She was looking for water to drink. It was just water. It was simple water. That's what was making her open her legs like that. But you see, you cannot link water to opening of legs. Even if somebody tells you, you don't even understand. But she was hungry. She was thirsty. That's why when Jesus met her, Jesus didn't. You see, Jesus really met her at the well. So he could speak to her properly. Verse 14. He said, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Then she goes to verse 15. She says what? He says, sir, give me this water. It wasn't the man. And when she gets the water and she drinks, she don't even look at the man anymore. So when you see people smoking, it's not because they want to smoke. Who wants to be a chimney? And they don't know how to react. So you just take something. And then when you see them smoking, you say, what? Who is this? What is this? No. Something is behind. I'm saying this to say that people are people. And it's the same people God is using and God wants to use. Yeah. No, heaven is going to be a place of surprise. Because when you go to heaven, you'll be surprised the people you see there. You'll say, Jesus, please, can I ask you a question? I see somebody here. I don't think they are supposed to be here. Jesus will say that, is it you? You're talking about yourself? Because you are also not supposed to be here. Yeah. Peter, can I check the list? Well, it doesn't look like you're looking at the list properly. The people you're opening the gate for, I think you need some help. So we are saying that. What happens? Chapter 2, isn't it? What will happen if? Is that what we're looking at? What happens when there are no laymen and volunteers? What happens when
these normal, usual, ordinary people are not doing the work, what happens? The first thing we studied was that sacrifice will be taken away. Then there will not be any opportunity for people to sacrifice. Because sacrifice, and I think very soon I'm going to preach about sacrifice. Yeah, because many Christians do not understand that the bedrock of our faith is sacrifice. Sacrifice from wherever to wherever. You can imagine of it. Yeah, yeah. Sacrifice is, if you can't sacrifice, you can't serve God. So if we are going to leave people who are in their secular environment, teachers, doctors, carpenters, masons, whoever, if we are going to leave you to just be yourself and work in your own environment and not sacrifice a bit of your time for the work of God, then the church will be no church. Because without sacrifice, there's no, you cannot be a Christian without sacrifice. I don't know where you got that idea from, that you can be a Christian without sacrificing. I don't know who's been preaching to you. The next thing we're looking at, number two, is that when there are no laymen and volunteers, what happens? There will not be a demonstration of faithfulness. There will not be a demonstration of faithfulness. Now, if you don't have volunteers, you don't have lay people, you don't have laymen, people who are, you know, having their 8-to-5 jobs, shift jobs, all kinds of fantastic jobs people may have. If you don't have people like that volunteering their time and their energy and their effort in doing God's work, in responding to the call of God, what happens is that the element called faithfulness will not be demonstrated. In Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 16, isn't it? Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. We are looking at the element of faithfulness. We looked at sacrifice. We are looking at faithfulness. Now, the Bible says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. So, without that little effort in the church, in the house of God, God will have nothing to assess you on. Because he only assesses reliability and dependability in his house on little things that you are giving. Do this, and you do it. It's least, because there's the other side of it, which is full time, which is your 24 hours, 7 days in a week to his work. That's not what he's calling us to do. He's calling lay people and volunteers to just a small window. Some 3 hours after your work when you are tired, he's just demanding another 1 hour or extra 2 hours. He's just saying that, you know what, Sunday morning, instead of just sleeping and cooking and washing and cleaning, just come to church. And when you are coming, bring somebody to church. He's just looking at a little bit of something from you in his work and in his kingdom to promote you. And the lack of these least things is also the lack of promotion. Many of us have not been promoted because we have not been faithful in little things. As long as we grasp and we each actually understand the way God works, you see how we'll be promoted. He said, how? How? I mean, he that is faithful in that which is least. It's that same person is equal to someone who is faithful in much. When the church is small, and the way you are dedicated to the church, the way you are so, you know, in love with the members and you take care of them, that is how he also allows more people to come. So, on this note, you have to understand something here. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord whispering to me that the small, small things we enjoy or we are exposed to are just tests. That small part-time job you got. That small hospitality that you had to show. That little bit money you had to give. That little work you had to do. The few church members you have. God is not going to keep you there. God is in the business of increasing and progress and enlargement and establishment. That is God. If you want to look at God, you can look at someone who is into big things. But when he gives you 10, 15 people, all he's trying to see is, can you also be given much? Can I give you more? If in earning 80,000, you can't pay tithe. Even earning 45,000, you can't pay tithe. Then how can you pay tithe when you earn 200,000? And you see, you may not believe that you can earn 200,000. You can earn 200,000, not maybe from your job directly, but the increases and the blessings that come from the side, if you combine it with your job and what you receive from your salary, you realize that your monthly income is actually more than $200,000. But those things that are much, they come from faithfulness in little. That's where they come from. People who don't respect little things are people who are not qualified to be promoted. You just want to start from 10? The only job you start from the top is grave digging. Yeah. You start from the top, you go, that's the only job in the world, grave digging. We don't understand grave digging because we don't dig graves here. On land, maybe a little towards the south, where there's no, they are not in the coastal belt. I'm sure they probably dig and put people in the earth. We can't dig because you soak the body. Little things, little opportunities, little doors. You see, human beings can be greedy. Yeah. How can you be paid by the church if you cannot sacrifice your time in a season where you don't receive a salary? Who should take money and just give it to you? Why? Where have you come from? Bishop says, that is why many people who are not successful in full-time ministry, they are people who were not successful in the lay ministry anyway. Because in the lay ministry, you have your job and you have the work of the ministry. So that little window you have to do something for him, if you are not able to be faithful there, then you can't become a successful full-time pastor. Many people have despised small opportunities and they are no more. Yeah? If we take out the volunteering part of the church, you will never see how reliable people are. Because as for going to work and then going home because I'm tired, everybody can say that. But we want to see, God wants to see those people who after all the 9-10 hours at work can still open themselves up. Hey. Maybe a wife will say, I called my husband, I said, buy tomatoes, and he didn't buy tomatoes. My wife used to do that to me when we were younger. I had to sit down and say, sweetie, you go to market, not me. And I give you money every week. We call it chop money. When you go to the market, buy enough of what you need. Don't call me. She used to do this to me Tuesdays. When I used to pick her up, Tuesdays, I'm picking her up. When I pick her up, she says, can we pass through the market? And I will turn my face and look at she like that. You know what today is? Today is preaching day. I should go and pack and you go to the market. And...
I know.
And I'm sitting down. Tuesday, you see, when Tuesday comes, my mind is on Tuesday evening service. So you are showing some, Bible says we should show love. So I've come to pick you from your work to show that I love you. Then you say, I should stop at the market. That one has nothing to do with love. Market stopping has nothing to do with love. I'm going to preach. Tuesday. I said, why didn't you get out of the fancy job you got, break time to go and buy your tomatoes and your things? Son heart. I'm going to preach. Tuesday, don't try. As if you're a real pastor, you buy a car for your wife, I tell you. Yeah. You become a taxi driver. I tell you, Pastor Isan, you become a taxi driver. Please pass here. Can you pass here? Can you pass here? Can you pass here? You wonder who's a car owner? Little always becomes much. Little always becomes much. You have to look at small things and be faithful. God cannot assess us if after our jobs we can't spend time with Him. That's how many people falter. I'm tired. I went to work and I'm tired. I went to work. I'm tired. Oh, I have to work Monday to Saturday. Sunday is the only day I've got. Wow, you have failed. That little Sunday, 12 to 16 hours you have, God is looking whether you can give Him even 4 or 5 of it. At the end of the day, the Monday to Saturday you work, who works? Who do you work for? Who benefits from the work? Who benefits from your 8 to 5? And you're sleeping on time and you're whatever and whatever. Which aspect of that routine in a day goes to God? So He looks at it. He that is faithful in least also is the same person who will be reliable in much. It means that people who are a certain way, reliable when there's nothing, those people are the same people who are reliable when there's a lot. You see, there's a difference between people who, when the church starts, they are there, from those who, when the church gets bigger and they come. Should I say it again? Yeah. The people who are with the pastor when the church starts are different from those who, when the church is blossoming and they come. Because as for things that are very fanciful and attractive, everybody wants it. But things that are not attractive, that is why it takes a wise woman to choose to marry a man who doesn't look promising. You understand what I'm talking about? You see, unspiritual, shallow-minded women are the type of women who want a man who is already made. Many women do not understand that you have to take a man and actually work on the man. Many women don't know that. The shallow type they want to jump into something that they'll begin to benefit. What did you do to benefit from what? No. No. Who should work on him and you should come and enjoy? Monkey can't work. No, make baboon can't come chop. Yeah. So when you see children, you see infants, you see immature people, you see how they have all kinds of complaints about their spouses or the people they are supposed to marry. What do you expect? What are you expecting? What are you expecting? Adam? You are expecting Adam? You've been reading books too much. You've been watching movies too much. You have to be faithful in little things. You have to see the potential in somebody who doesn't have anything. Yeah, you have to have the potential in that. You have to see that. If you want something that's already cooked, it shows that you are a very bad person. You just want to be given much without being faithful. You have not started from least. You just want to just jump. Little things. That is how the volunteers, you lay people, that's where we see your faithfulness. That's where we see your faithfulness. He goes on to say, he that is unjust in least will also be unjust. It's like an equation. As long as you are not faithful in little, you can never be faithful with much. It's like that. So, you see, so even you and I, we have to look at ourselves and the people around us, that if you give somebody something little and they fail to be faithful, forget about it. Don't say, oh, man, must give people a chance. You're wasting your time. You have to work with this principle. You can't be bigger than the Bible. When the Bible says, once the person has been unfaithful in a little thing, he can never be given much. Don't say, oh, man, people make mistakes. You just give them this thing, you know. She'll try, she'll prove. No. Don't start. Yeah. Many of you don't want to work with the children. You don't want to be pastors at the children's service. But you want to have children? You want to have your own baby? You want to have this thing? And then go, you have to look at them and see how disgusting they behave. And see whether you want such a blessing or not. Isn't that what we say? We call them disgusting. Yeah, that's a normal word we use. Yeah, moderation. You want a baby, but you can't take care of a child. You want a house. Look at you. You want a house. Thank you, Lord. You want a house. You want a husband. And you want a home, but you can't sweep the church. How can you have a house to have a husband inside? You can't clean the church. How can you be given a house and a husband to clean the house? How? Little mopping in this place you can't do. Now, God should bless you with your own house and your own husband. If you can't clean here, you'll never be able to clean your own house. That's a formula. The next verse is even more interesting. The next verse of the 12th. But it says, if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit your trust? Who will commit to you, to your trust, the true riches? If these frivolous times, these little jobs we have, so-called jobs and so-called things that we have around us, if we cannot overlook them and be faithful with the little things, who is going to give us something big? 12 is a killer. I'm closing. Verse 12 is a killer. If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, this is where all of us are at fault. As long as it's not for you, you in business with that. That's why these days I ask people, I say, you know, come and help me. I want you to understand the thing. I said, come be a home cell leader and help me to build a church. If you say no, you'll never have anything that belongs to you. You'll never own anything. The secret to owning something is being faithful with something little that belongs to somebody. It's right there. It's right there. It's right there. It's right there. Who should give you something for yourself? When somebody asks you to hold on to this and you didn't treat it well, how and why should you be giving much, forgetting that there is nothing we have that we did not receive? And it is God who gives all things freely unto us to enjoy. So when something is handed to you to watch over it, especially if it's for somebody, you have to be careful. This is my ministry. This is Bishop's ministry. It comes down like that. Bishop Doug has a ministry, and I have been called to help him. As I'm helping, I'm also calling and inviting you, help me. I said, help me. I need you to help me. I mean, you look at me. I'm asking you to help me in this church. Work. You want to say no? You will never own anything. I said, come, be a cell leader. Go here. Pick five people. Bring them. No one. I have to treat you like a slave driver. Driving slaves. And if you have not been reliable, you have not been constant, you have not been dependable in that which is for somebody else.
Answers for somebody, attitude is different.
We are very, very particular about things that belongs to us. When a thing belongs to us, we behave differently. Hardly would you buy something fresh, brand new, and give it to somebody. It must come to me. And the thing that you are not using, that one must go to somebody. The shoe that is a little tight, that must go. The one that's not tight is me. Once it is us, it's a different case. And God is saying that your own is your 8 to 5, yes. What is not your own is the other one that you may have to get yourself involved in after your work. He says that if you can't handle that properly, then forget about being the owner of anything.
If you can't wash my car, how can you get a car? If you can't brush my shoe and clean my shoe, how can you get shoes?
If you can't serve, why should you have somebody to serve you? Yeah. It is your reliability in what does not belong to you. That's what makes you become boss man.
I mean, everybody wants to be a boss man. Everybody wants to be their own self. Everybody wants to make their own decisions.
But that comes when you have first received instruction from a boss man.
Me won't work for nobody. I will work with self.
Hey, if you want to work with yourself, you look at it. It's right there. To be able to work for yourself, you have to work for somebody.
You see, those bus drivers and taxi drivers, those who drive the cars that are not for them, you should see how they drive. Yeah. They don't see potholes. No, they drive through it. And bah, bah. They don't care. Okay, drive anyhow.
Those who buy, who drive their own vehicles.
Anything that is not for us, we treat it very, very differently.
There's nothing painful like somebody comes to borrow something that belongs to you and they return it damaged.
They don't seem to feel what you are feeling. They don't seem to understand what you understand.
If you ever say, you know what, you have to buy a new one for me, they say, eh!
Okay, so what kind of story is that? It's very unreasonable. Come and see talking.
But it's not your own. Look at what he's saying, I should go and buy. Even his thing that I bought, it wasn't like that. Well, some cheap Chinese thing is telling me I should.
Now you see that it's a cheap Chinese thing.
But you didn't have your own. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, I ask you to do something in this church. God is watching you. He's watching to promote you. You want promotion? Be faithful in a letter that you are given to do. That's what will give you your own. Yeah. When I told Bishop Richard about the building in New Amsterdam that we almost got in, we everything is set. And he told me, he said, "You are a rich man." I said, "Oh, how possible? How can I be a rich man?" He said, "Hey, you have properties." Wow. I'm a rich man. Oh, you don't know that I'm a rich man? I'm a pastor. I'm a rich pastor. I have church buildings. Millions, 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 millions lands. He said, "You're a rich man. Because I'm the one who lives here." But I had taken care of a church before somewhere, you know. I was a pastor somewhere before. Where I used to work, like everybody works. I used to go and preach. I told you, my phone bills, they were just church members' phone bills. My contract cell phone that my boss would pay for me, all the calls were church members. If ever they had requested for listing, there's another word for it too. Itemized bill. They will look at this number and they say, "We don't know this number. We don't know that number." By the time they finish, they say, "Hey, no, something is not right here. You're using our phone to call church members." The Lord had to see that somehow to say, "You know what? I want to give you a country. I don't want to give you, I want to give you a country. I want to give you people. I want to promote you. Do you want to be promoted?" I didn't even know that I was being promoted. May the Lord promote you. Somebody's been promoted tonight. God looks at faithfulness. You see, even though Moses, he tried, he wanted to do the Exodus himself. He wanted to do the liberation himself. He wanted to have help the Hebrews come out of the slavery they were into in Egypt. But it didn't work. Now, when he lost himself and he became a shepherd, it was true. When God called Moses, he was taking care of sheep. That's how come he called him. Because he saw how he was so passionate about sheep. Then he said, "You know what? This is my guy. All these 6 million something people who I want to leave, I want to take out of Egypt. He's the one who's qualified to lead them." Same thing with David. God wanted somebody to kill Goliath. He wanted somebody who will kill Goliath. David was the one who had been killing lions for the sake of animals. He fought lions for the sake of sheep. I mean, if you see a lion coming for sheep, will you not step back and say, "Please, you take that one. Please, just take that one and go." Yeah. And that's what they advise us here. If you go to the police station and report a robbery, the best advice they will give you, they will say, "Oh, your car, don't leave anything in your car." They say, "Don't leave anything in your car." When the people came for our laptops here, when we went for a meeting with assistant commander of the A division, he said, "I will advise you, don't leave anything in the office." Charlene, do you remember? He said, "Don't leave anything in the office." So what? It should be like a workstation. We bring all our things. You come away. Now, when we are going, what is the security that as we are going, somebody will also not come for us? He said, "Don't leave anything here." in the office. I said, that's what I'll advise you. It's the same thing. When you see bandits on the road, pickpockets and these things, they say, when they want something, give it to them. Because the guy they shot, is it Obribaka Road somewhere there? And it was the same thing. Gregory. Yeah, the same thing. Some gold chain. What is a gold chain? He's fighting. And they say, what? You won't fight with me? The bam! So to get somebody who will fight a lion for the sake of a small lamb, God sees him very, very different. God sees that person very, very different. And if he's looking for somebody who will fight, who needs a certain anointing to fight a bigger and a stronger enemy to release his people, he will use you. He will look, he'll go, you see, God goes through our CVs. He looks at those who have been doing small, small things before. And he promotes those people. Those of us who like big things, please be warned. Nobody gets promoted to do big things. Even in this life, when you see people doing big things, most of the time, there's no basis, there's no foundation of it. It doesn't last. It collapses. Because you can't be on the top without having some grounding and some foundation. Even if it comes to riches and being promoted, if you are promoted and you don't have the qualification and the experience, people will fight you. Look at what they did to, is it Leonard Craig? The broadcasting, Ghana National Broadcasting Authority, the guy who, from AFC, they put in charge of, do you read news? Do you read the newspapers? He has Anthony Vera and Rudy Nsanale, who was former Minister of Foreign something Trade. And Anthony Vera, who has been in the broadcasting business for how long? You, Leonard Craig, from nowhere. You are the boss of the Broadcasting Authority. They have peppered his eyes. Ah. Pepper. Yeah, because they don't respect you as a board chairman. So there's fire on the mountain. Yeah, he gone. He left. It was Kisu who made me know that he's even gone. He's gone. They've not fixed the job and they will not do it. They are fixing it. Jack Dio's things, they are fixing it. Actually, they'll fix Jack Dio. Nagamutu doesn't want it. That's what Kisu said. He said the prime minister doesn't want all those who are giving licenses to be, you know, that kind of thing, Jack Dio's thing to be revoked. He said Nagamutu doesn't want it. Did you read it? Yeah. So don't look for promotion. Be somebody who focus on little things. Go and buy water. Come and sweep. Do this. Do that. Now, you think about it. If you wash a car and you move it, you park it, you wash it. Are you not the one who will drive the car at the point? Yeah. Next time, when the owner wants somebody to buy something, man, buy this, take a car because you've been moving it back and forth, washing. Though this guy shines the car, let you ride, drive it a day, right? Let you feel nice. You don't want to drive it. You don't want to wash it. You just want to drive it. Buy your own squeezy and wash it. Then somebody will also buy squeezy and wash yours too. Without volunteers, God will not know who he should actually promote. Because he has a lot of children. He has a lot of church members who work in the secular world. Who should he promote? He must have something, a principle, so that it doesn't be like, okay, God loves Anita more than Sister Elsa. There must be something to justify why Anita is receiving more than Sister Elsa. And that comes from her faithfulness. The little window she has and how much she allows God into the window. That's it. My time is up. Stand to your feet, please. If there are no lay people, there's no way you can demonstrate faithfulness. Yeah, there's no way. There's no way. I thank God for the lay people in this church who demonstrate a lot of, you know, sacrifice their time and energy. They are here. The Lord bless you. The Lord promote you. Yes. May people serve you. May people minister to you also, as you have ministered. Blessed be your name, O God. Father, tonight I want to thank you for your word. And indeed, I pray for those who have been serving faithfully all these years. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again tonight. If you are here like that, while every eye is closed, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. If you're here like that, you're here tonight, you say, Lord, I want to be serious with you. While every eye is closed, you want to lift up your right hand. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to be serious with God from tonight. I want to demonstrate faithfulness. You are here like that. You want me to pray with you? Just your right hand. Salvation is free. Don't miss it. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand, I want to ask you to come to the front. Come to me. Come. If you lifted up your hand, come. Clap for them as they come. Bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All right, let's pray. Close your eyes with me, church. Join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me. And I believe God raised him from the dead. I open my heart. And I invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart. To be my master and my savior. From tonight. I believe. I am born again. I believe I'm changed forever. I believe I am now a child of God. And my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Heavenly Father. For saving my soul. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Collins, please call us on 592-231-0077 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.